It's Monday, December 17th, and you're listening to The Geek at Geek News Central, the longest continuing running tech podcast. This is show number 825, sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com. Our December special for all new and existing GoDaddy customers, $2.95.coms. Use promo code GEEK295. Or take 20% off your total order when you check out at GoDaddy.com by using promo code GO20OFF2. Got a great show lined up for you. I tell you, it's still storming here in Honolulu. Got a great show. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go, no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
5.
Button, who's got the button?
4.
There's no cause for alarm.
3.
Everybody hold on to something.
2.
Just press the button.
1.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii via the Geek News Central studio overlooking Honolulu. Hey, everyone, welcome to the show and... Boy, I tell you, I think I've semi-recovered from my 24-hour podcast. We'll talk about that here in just a few minutes. But I want to give a warm welcome to all of the HANA, all the longtime listeners of the show. Thanks for being here. Thanks for staying subscribed. Thanks for being part of the family. And we're checking the stream out, too, because I've had a little problem with the TriCaster. We did a rebuild on it after the 24-hour podcast. So I'm double-checking to make sure stream quality is good on the rebuild. And hopefully everything goes right and the machine doesn't reboot on me. I think I know where the issue is. And I'll probably talk about what we found later. And it's all about universal power supplies. But it's way geekier than I need to get into right now. But hey, if you're part of the Ohana and part of the family that listens to the show, thanks for being here. I definitely appreciate you tuning in, and thanks for staying subscribed. It's my great pleasure bringing the show. We're here just a week away from Christmas, so goes without saying to everyone, saying a Merry Christmas to everyone, Happy Hanukkah, whatever, or if you don't celebrate Christmas, Happy Holidays. But again, I want to give a warm welcome to all of you, and I want to encourage you, of course, to all of you take time and get over to geeknewscentral.com and check out the site, subscribe to the RSS feeds. It's real easy to do so. Get hooked up with the newsletter. That way you will never miss a single thing that we talk about or that I talk about here on the show. So definitely get over to geeknewscentral.com. And I tell you, the writers are, it's the holidays, so we're not putting a lot of pressure on them because we know that there is a tsunami of content that's going to be coming at all of you here in the coming weeks as we get ready for CES. But if you're checking out the show for the very first time, you can reach out to me on Twitter at Geek News. You can email me geeknews@gmail.com, or you can call our hotline at 619-342-7365. There's also a way to send a comment right on the website, and you can do that real easy. All you got to do is just click the send comment button on the website, and that will get a comment for the show automatically recorded using your webcam. And it's just a little audio comment, so don't be scared of it. Feel free to use it. I'll tell you, we've got the live audio stream up tonight. We've made a few changes to it because we got some feedback during the 24-hour podcast about sound quality. So hopefully if you're just listening on the stream, you will have a little bit better quality on that. And I tell you, every time we do the show, every time we do a long show, like I did this past Saturday, Sunday, you'll learn a great deal. Of course, I want to take just a second here and thank our sponsor. Of course, you know, GoDaddy has been a longtime sponsor of the show here, and you guys have responded month after month by picking up hosting accounts, domain names, you name it. But really, this is domain.com month because we have domains.coms at $2.95 each. That's just an absolutely incredible deal. And don't hesitate in getting over to GoDaddy and picking some of those up. Actually, I'm going to look here. I think, do I have a bad link in one of the websites? Or did I click the wrong? Ho, ho, ho. I found something that I need to correct. That's not good. So Geek295 is the code that you use when you're over at GoDaddy. So definitely get over there and pick up some domains. And if you're picking up other products, don't worry. We got savings for you there as well by using our 20% off code, good through the end of the year. And that's going to be going away. So be sure to grab stuff up. Go20off2 is the code to use and through the end of the year. And you get 20% off. I think we're going to have a special for you for CES as well. So we'll see what happens with that. But I tell you, my good friend Danica, she has sent us a little audio clip. And some of you have heard this, some of you haven't. But let's hear from Danica here real quick.
Hi, this is Danica Patrick, racing star and GoDaddy girl. I rely on my race team to make my cars lean and mean. And I know the geek here at Geek News Central relies on the team at GoDaddy for lean, mean web products like domain names, hosting, and email. Check out all of Todd's great GoDaddy deals at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy.
And of course, we want to thank Danica for that. Of course, Danica Patrick, GoDaddy girl, GoDaddy race, basically a race car driver. And I tell you, I was really appreciative of them being able to put that together for me. But definitely check out GoDaddy and all their great products and services. I want to thank them for being a continued sponsor here at the show. So definitely check out all the deals that I have at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. That'll get you all of my promo codes that I have available. And really, there's a bunch of them. So there's a code there for really for every occasion. Just look for the GoDaddy promo code link on the website. That's all you got to do to get access to it and use it. Okay, let's talk here just a few minutes about the 24-hour podcast that happened this past weekend. I guess I'm relatively satisfied with the results. Few key people, specifically, we didn't get Adam Curry's Amsterdam. Some family issues. I apologize. I thought we were going to have him the first hour. I was working on trying to find him an alternate time, and it ended up not working out. So I apologize, but we really wanted to add him on, but we tried to spend a lot of time talking really everything podcasting and in between. Had a few goof-off hours, had some podcasters in telling their stories. The story I missed the most was the Secret Service guy. He did not come on, and we missed getting the story about him being rolled up by the Secret Service because of his show. So maybe we'll save that for another year. And, you know, you do your best to book great guests, but it's a luck of the draw who you're going to get on an hour-by-hour basis. I had a few rough ones at the very end, if you go through and listen to them, the 23rd hour, I think you'll find that to be an interesting hour from a content perspective, not necessarily from a lot of value content. But rather than that, I'll have to start putting hours of the show up and making it available. I'm going to do a little editing on them so it makes a good viewing and listening experience. But they're all the masters are stored, and we'll have them. I'll give you information on how to get access to those when we can. Now, we're keeping the Wounded Warrior Project donation link open for just a couple more days. And the reason we're doing that is we've had a couple more donations come in. So we want to appreciate the folks that have donated that. We didn't raise nearly as much money as we have in years past. Had a lot of people on the stream because we looked at the stream stats and looked really good. Not a lot of people on chat, but just a little over $300. So I was significantly shy of my goal. So that's why we're going to leave the link up for just a couple of more days for people to come in if they feel that they want to donate. Let's see, what else is going on? CES stuff, scheduling continues. It's we're just busy getting ready for CES, and that is just a statement that should be understood by all of you at this point. And, of course, we are happy to have my mom here. My mom flew in. So Sherry Cochran is in the house. Sherry from Sherry Cast, those of you that used to listen to her show. And her and I were talking today about the Insider Special show that we're going to record. And I'm hoping to put that together on, let me look at the calendar here. I'm probably on Christmas Eve. I don't think we're going to do and it all depends on what we have going on. Maybe we'll do it in the morning of Christmas Eve. We're not going to have a Christmas Eve show. There'll be no show on the 24th. There will be a regularly scheduled show on the 27th. Now, here's where things kind of get funny from a production standpoint. We're going to have the show on, again, today. We have the one on the 20th. There will be no show on the 24th. There will be a show on the 27th. We will not have a show on the 31st. So, but what I have to do is the gear going to Vegas has to go out on the 28th, because what it's going to end up happening is if I try to ship the everything to Vegas on the 2nd, it'll be real tight. I'd have to do 2-day air to get it there for pickup on the 4th. And what I want to do is I want to use ground. So if I use ground, it'll basically get there about right. It'll be 1, 2, 3, 4 business days. I can ship ground to get stuff if it leaves on the 28th. So if that means I'm shipping stuff on the 28th to pick up on the 4th, we will end up having all of the, what do I want to say here? We'll have all the lights are going to be shipped. The TriCaster will be shipped and gone. So I think what it will end up being is if we do a show, it'll be audio only on the 31st. But I definitely no show on the 3rd, because we are airborne to Vegas and that night. So I'm going to try to get something out. Maybe we'll do a show, and it's going to, again, it'll be audio only. And maybe we'll just use the portable system. Maybe I'll be able to do a live show, but use the portable kit since the rest of the gear will be gone and do a green screen or something. We'll see how it works out. But, definitely stuff is going to be gone. So there's going to be a little bit of a interruption in the content. And the way this year's show works out, it's kind of crazy on how things are going to be. So, again, we'll do one on Thursday. We'll do a show. There'll be no show on Christmas Eve. And then we'll do the regular show on the 27th. And then, it's basically CES at that point. So actually be kind of good for me, too, to have just a little bit of a break on a couple of shows. Spend time with the family here. And I hope you guys appreciate that. Again, we're going to put that insider show out. So that'll be a special one. It really will. And to become an insider, it's not difficult. All you got to do is go over to geeknewscentral.com/insider. And if you want access to this show, start a $2 a month donation to the show. Just, go $2. And even if you feel like donating more, fine. If you do a one-time, you can do a one-time donation as well. There's a link at the bottom of the Insider page to be able to do a single payment. And again, we'll take anything. We'll take $2, $5, $10, $25, whatever you want to do. And if you get in on the Insider show, we're going to make it a good one. We're going to make it enjoyable for you. It's something you're going to be able to enjoy during the holidays. We're going to talk family. We're going to not going to be talking too much tech. It's just we're going to get you guys caught up on everything going around here and really going to share in-depth details, stuff that you never hear on the show. And maybe have some kids on. It's going to be, it'll be fun. So I really encourage you to become an insider and help us during the new year. And it would be greatly appreciated. $2 a month, you spend that much, basically going out to your car and starting it and driving down the road 5 miles. So $2 a month isn't going to hurt anyone's budget. And we hope that we bring you, at least I hope I bring you a lot of great content. It's going to help us cover bills at CES. We're missing one sponsor at this point. We've only got two sponsors locked up. So, anything that you can do to help is greatly appreciated. And we'll do that fun insider show for you that will really, truly be insider. And you'll hear some voices here that you haven't heard before. Okay, so Let me go ahead and get into the regular stack of stuff. We've wrapped up the Citrix campaign for 2012, so they're gone until sometime early in the year when we start doing them again. And actually, I think they've got a short campaign scheduled for Q1, but we got some exciting stuff going on in the pipe that we're looking forward to. Hey, I want to, I'm watching, have you guys been watching in the gas prices? They're like, what's going on? I mean, they're diving, yeah? Even here, I'm under $4 a gallon. It's like, yes! You know, I think I rolled, I got mid-grade or something for like $3.96, and that's like, I don't think I've seen $3.96 on the pump in a couple of years. So I'd like to see it continue to go down. I really would. But if you're traveling this holiday period, it's probably a good thing. All right, let's go ahead and the first tech article I've got up tonight is about an Australian ISP. And for those Australian listeners down there, good day. Welcome to the show. We thank you very much for being subscribed. We know that you're listening down under. So, but I tell you, you got an ISP down there that is really sticking up for your rights. You may remember iiNet. This is the Australian ISP that Hollywood attacked with the support of the U.S. State Department officials after they decided it was too small to fight back. But they did fight back, and they really took on a strong pro-consumer view and won in convincing fashion in the courts in Australia. And we know that since that time, Hollywood has really continued to go after the Australian government to pressure ISPs to step up to become copyright cops anyway. And iiNet has participated in those discussions. But late last week, they walked away from those discussions and they basically made a couple of comments. It says, a broken record. The conversation failed to move on. They say the rights holder is still insisting ISP should perform the work on their behalf instead of addressing what I've always said is the root cause of infringements, the limited accessibility to desirable content and the discriminatory and high cost of content in Australia. Infringements are a symptom. Access is the problem. They talk about data retention. They say iiNet will not support any scheme that forces ISPs to retain data in order to allow for the tracking of a customer's behavior and the status of any alleged infringements against them. Collecting and retaining additional customer data at this level is inappropriate, expensive, and most importantly, not our responsibility. Third point they made, they say it's not iiNet's job to play online police. They say, we've been over this before. The High Court spoke loud and clear in their verdict when they ruled categorically that ISPs have no obligation to protect the rights of third parties. And we're not prepared to harass our customers when the industry has no clear obligation to do so. And fourth, they say it's time to find a new way. We believe that timely, affordable access to legitimate content is the best option for reducing unauthorized sharing. Hear, hear. You know, make these videos available on day one that they go in the theaters. You know, so what? It's going to destroy the industry. That's what's happening already. We want access. I don't want to go to the movie theater and pay, you know, we were going to go see The Hobbit. And they're charging a premium for the show. And you know, good luck going to the 3D one. It's like $30 a person. And I'm like, five people, $150. It ain't happening. You know, we're going to wait. And we have to wait 6 months for it to come out. But we're not going to go. So, you know, that's what it's all about. And that's what makes people infringe. Fans of that type of content are going to get access to it one way or the other. So those of you that are part of the Ohana down in Australia, hey, good on iiNet. And if they're in your area, man, I think this is a company you want to give your business. I forgot to start one of the live stream broadcasters, so they're going to get part of a show. next up, you know, China, you know, last year we had a big brush up about SOPA just about this time. And you know, during the SOPA fight, you know, there was a fact that was brought up that the increased encryptions were going to make most bills meaningless and effectiveness in the long run. And, you know, someone closely involved in trying to make SOAP a reality said that this wasn't a problem because the next bill he was working on was one that would ban encryption. So, you know, today, the Chinese are doing everything they can to really kind of stop VPN usage and to get around the Great Firewall. And so in response, it appears that some ISPs are now looking to block traffic that they believe is going through encrypted means. So a number of companies providing virtual private network service to users in China says the new system is able to learn, discover, and block the encrypted communication methods used by a number of different VPN systems. China Unicom, one of the biggest telecom providers in the country, is now killing connections where a VPN is detected, according to one company with a number of users in China. So, you know, there's a lot of ways to encrypt, and this is going to, you know, basically cause a cat and mouse game, but the Chinese are trying to shut down encrypted traffic. They want to sniff that stream. They want access to what they're, they want to stop people from getting access to stuff. You know, this is, you know, it's going to be something that users in China are going to have to deal with for a while, but, you know, and, you know, fighting against encryption, a game that's not going to be won in the long term because of the many ways it can be mixed, matched, and changed and delved up and rerouted and everything else. So we'll see. But China is trying to block encrypted traffic here. And using VPNs is a huge, huge percentage of Chinese users are using it. So kind of a curious that the Chinese are doing that with their a lot of their American-purchased routers and so forth. Twitter has finally opened up their archive. Some users can now download all their tweets, but it is limited at this point. And this is going to really open up little by little. But, you know, they said that they're going to open up to everyone, but it hasn't happened yet. But some folks are now reporting that they're able to get access to their archives. So that's good news. And we'll see where this goes. You know, a lot of stuff going in the EU is really trying to make sure the companies here in the United States, at least make their data available to their populace. I just wish it happened here a lot quicker. And some of it's been through lawsuits and other things that's happened. But Twitter voluntarily is starting to make that data available. All right, Microsoft says they've been watching. And they say that those of you that are using Windows 8 are getting used to it. Microsoft users' data shows that users are getting used to dealing with Windows 8 interface, reports an article at the MIT Technology Review. Despite some of the more scathing reviews of Windows 8, ordinary users are getting along with it just fine, according to Julie Larson Green, the Microsoft executive who leads product development. Data collected automatically from some Windows users say shows they're adjusting to some of the new operating system controversial features without problems. So basically, they're getting feedback from their system. And again, they're getting this feedback from Windows 8 customers have chosen to join the customer's experience improvement program. And of course, all users are invited to enroll. Many people don't. So, but they're sending anonymizing data back. Someone here in the chat room said, Todd, you know, we had an awesome show when you and your guests talk about porn stars. Yeah, there was a segment during the 24-hour podcast where we had one guest who basically was talking about his shows, and it got everyone's attention. We didn't know that was going to be the topic that this guy wanted to talk about the different types of guests he's had on his show and some of the stuff he's done, but it had everyone rolling. I'm debating on how we're going to publish that specific episode. It probably won't be able to go into the standard Geek News Central special media feed just because of the nature of this guy's conversation. But thanks for the comment in the chat room. Yeah, it was late night. It was probably much later than after most kids were up. Kids that would be offended would have been up watching. But there was definitely 1 hour of the show that was not child safe for sure. Next topic up here. There's some debate going on in Japan whether the new government that's been voted in is going to restart the nuclear power program. My wife talks to her friends in Japan, and boy, I tell you, there's still lots of issues because of that. And so there may be some move by the LDP, who's headed by Japan's next prime minister, Shinzo Abe, who won a landslide victory on Sunday, that his new coalition government would take a softer stance on nuclear power. Now, public opinion remains divided on the role of atomic energy after natural disasters last year triggered a radiation crisis at the Fukushima Daiichi plant. So we'll see. And, with the 850 nuclear reactors around the world, we've had three that have had, some meltdowns. But, I guess we're going to have to see where this leads for the Japanese. And it'll be up to them to decide. I would be surprised if they did because of the sentiment. I think the sentiment there is largely opposed to nuclear energy. But then again, when you don't get energy and your lights are going out and you basically are having to, in the summertime, not run air conditioner units, it's you can very quickly change your mind. There's an article, switching gears here completely, there's an article over in VentureBeat. Facebook has totally changed the mobile ad industry, causing 180% spend spike in 2012. If they were the result of mobile ads, I haven't clicked on a single mobile ad ever. How many of you have clicked on a mobile ad? It's immediately put into my ignore list. I can't imagine that they're having good results. Maybe I'm just a minority that doesn't click on stuff. But apparently, mobile ads basically have jumped from $1.45 billion to $4.06 billion in just 12 months. So eMarketer notes that Twitter's promoted suite of ad products were also part of the growth, as were Google's mobile ads, but the analysts placed much greater significance on Facebook's role in mobile ads. So that's interesting that there's that much going on in the mobile advertising space. I just don't see it. I don't click on it. How many of you, email me, please. Email me at geeknews@gmail.com if you've ever clicked on a mobile ad. You may have mistakenly clicked on one, but please, I want to hear from all of you. If you've actually clicked on a mobile ad, email me, and if you can remember what it was, tell me, and did you buy something? I really want to know. This seems like an incredible amount of money being spent for something that is as ignored as many banner ads on websites. Now, I track all the clicks on Geek News Central. I know how many people are clicking the GoDaddy ad. I know how many people are clicking the B&H ad. Of course, when we had Citrix GoToMeeting up and on the ad buy, I knew how many people were clicking on that. So, here's what it boils down to. I know what my click-through rate is on the website, and I'm happy with it. But I also know a lot of you come to the website specifically and click on the ad to get a specific discount because I've asked you to, not because it's popped up on you while you're on the site. And, most of the people that are buying domain products are folks that are in hosting house are fans of this show. Because believe me, there are promo codes everywhere. I try to have good ones, but, that's not always, people will go around looking for the best deal. So, but I just can't imagine people clicking mobile stuff. I don't. And I don't understand where the influence is coming from. The guy that was on talking about the stuff that the Jiggy Jaguar show was the show that was talking about the adult stuff during the 24-hour podcast. And that's feeding back to what was being asked in the chat room. Hey, Clearwire has accepted Sprint's $2.2 billion bid. This acquisition is going to give Sprint basically complete access or total control of Clearwire. And Sprint's going to pay $2.97 per share for the Clearwire stock if it doesn't already own, up from $2.90 share offer made last week. So basically, everyone that owns a percentage, Comcast, Intel, Bright Health Network, which owns 13%, have indicated they will agree to the deal and take the cash and run. So this is going to give Sprint direct access to additional spectrum. All right, I didn't talk about this on the 24-hour podcast, and it happened after the last show. But the situation, this tragedy, this horrible, horrible, horrible tragedy that happened in Newtown, Connecticut. You know, I was riding in my car when I, where was I at? Where did I hear it? I heard it in my car Friday morning, driving my kids to school. And we were listening to some, we were on some station. The kids had begged me to listen to some station they like to listen to instead of listening to a podcast. And I heard it announced, and then I switched to an AM station and went to a, basically talk radio station to see if we could hear more about it. And you know, any person, any sane person, what happened there is just an incredible tragedy. And anyone in the right mind just cannot, in any circumstances, even try to contemplate how someone could do this. And, you know, it's bad enough adults got killed, but kindergartners, 6 and 7 year old kids, you know, I think everyone in the United States and probably throughout the world was largely sick to their stomach over this. But, you know, we will not know for a long time why, and hopefully they'll be able to figure out what triggered this guy just to go nuts and do what he did. But, you know, there's no, you know, I hate to say it this way, but, you know, he definitely, if there's a hell, he deserves to be in the hottest part of hell there is. And they're saying that the FBI is reporting his laptop, but apparently he smashed his laptop, beat up the hard drive. So they're going to try to get into that, but he must have had something very serious in there, very incriminating, that would have probably give some source of information. But, you know, anyone did, first of all, he killed his mom, and then he goes to her classroom and kills her classroom. And, you know, is that just sick. And, they're going to try to find a reason why, but hold your kids closer. And, boy, I tell you, I just don't know. There is no answer to this. I really don't think there is. You know, everyone's talking more gun control and all that stuff, but, you know, it's what people, you know, they'll find ways. Are going to, if people are intent on doing this kind of stuff, are going to step it up and go more extraordinarily high. You know, I don't get it. I really don't. And I don't know what the solution is. I really don't. I don't know if there is a solution. But horrible tragedy. Hearts and prayers go out to those families, and there's nothing anyone can say to make them feel any better. That's something I'll, you know, maybe will happen over time. Maybe. But incredible. Really incredible. All right, let's switching gears here off of the horrible. Hacker Gary McKinnon is not going to face UK charges. Computer hacker whose extradition to the United States was blocked will not face charges in the UK, bringing to an a 10-year legal battle. Director of Public Prosecutor Keir Starmer said the changes, the chance of a successful conviction were not high. And so basically he's walking free. He did admit accessing U.S. government computers, but says he was looking for evidence of UFOs. So the U.S. Department of Justice said it would continue to collaborate with U.K. government on a wider range of shared concerns. In other words, this guy probably better never step in the United States. But, of course, the U.S. had tried to extradite him and face charges of damages to military computers and stuff. But, you know, he's been fighting extradition since 2002 and has Asperger's syndrome. So, but he's been permitted to stay, and there's, you know, a pretty, you know, he probably feels a lot better at this point. But looks like the U.K. hasn't been too intent on deporting their citizens to the United States for prosecution. This is the second case where this was basically kind of taken care of. NASA is going to be testing a space sleep color-changing light. But basically, these color-changing lights are going to be used on the International Space Station as part of an effort to help astronauts on board sleep. The space agency will initially swap a fluorescent panel with a solid-state lighting module containing LEDs, which produce a blue-whitish or red-colored light, depending on the time. They say the move will help combat insomnia, which makes which can cause depression, sickness, and cause folks to make folks more to make folks will make more mistakes. They're going to do a test in 2016, but that's pretty cool. LED lights that will change the luminosity is interesting. So the aim of the experiment is to simulate a night day cycle to minimize sleep disruption. So so we'll see. We'll see how long it takes them to get these up there. But imagine just hauling lights, new lights up for to help people sleep better, which is, I'm sure, going to be appreciated by the astronauts. Fox Broadcasting, of course, lost a key court ruling last month, is in the case of, basically, they're trying to stop Dish skipping DVR. They're more eager than ever to kick Dish Network, a new ad-skipping hopper DVR, off the market. And as you remember, last month, the federal judge found that Dish DVR probably doesn't break copyright laws, ruling that the hopper can stay on the market and operate normally while Fox proceeds with the lawsuit. Fox is arguing that it can't wait, and it says that Dish product has the potential to do serious damage to various aspects of the ad-supported TV business. Aww. As promised, it appealed the lower court's decision and has now filed its opening brief at the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit. So we'll see where this goes and see if they're going to get Dish to disable the hopper or have it taken off the market. So if you haven't bought one yet, you may want to do so soon. Nielsen said they're going to be, yes, Nielsen, the company that sends basically tries to figure out who's watching what. Nielsen is saying they're going to supplement its TV rating system with Twitter. So Twitter and Nielsen announced plans to create a new system for TV ratings. The Twitter TV rating will act as a supplement to traditional Nielsen ratings to quantify the online and mobile conversations about TV content. How about podcast content? So this is a pretty bold move. You know, one of the organization's current methods is mailing paper diaries to homes along with a dollar, yes, a single dollar, and asking residents to write down which shows they watch and when. And, you know, that can be rigged. I've never rigged a, you know, something that came from one of those groups. Ha, 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 ha. Hey, in space news today, NASA buried a couple of satellites that were basically the probes, the twin Grail probes. Ebb and Flow are hot off. Basically, they're buried in a side of a crater. They crashed them today. Basically, this NASA got all the scientific value out of the probes that they could. And they say, now we're going to, you know, going to crash them. And a couple of weeks later, we're going to go over that site and look and see how big of a crater they made. They only hit the side of this canyon like at 3,600 miles per hour. It had to be pretty incredible. I'm sure it blew up a dust plume, but haven't heard anything about anything actually being seen. But both probes struck the target on the moon, and that target is going to be named after astronaut Sally Ride. So, that's a two-way to get rid of some satellites, crash them into the moon. Now, Anonymous, you know, they've done some you know, crazy stuff in the past, and, you know, some of the stuff has been frowned upon, but I'm going to tell you, Anonymous's continuous hack offensive against the Westboro Baptist Church, and they are going after the group in a big way. Over the weekend, Anonymous was stirred to action against an old nemesis, the Westboro Baptist Church, and this was basically after some appalling comments that they made in regards to the Sandy Hook shooting on Friday. They've really went after them big. They took over a couple of Twitter accounts, and they've been shutting down a variety of their .com sites, and they were not happy with them, and so we will see where this leads. But Anonymous, in my opinion, has done some good here in going after these folks for this offensive Twitter and the comments that that group has made in regards to that national tragedy. DARPA. Boy, I tell you, DARPA is always looking ways to do cool stuff and really make people think outside the box. DARPA is looking to create a wireless Skynet with fiber-like 100-gig bandwidth. So, you know, there's not been huge advances in wireless networking. Some of it is advanced. You know, most of the industrial strength of fiber and wired stuff can really, you know, really outshines most radio stuff. And we talked about microwave being a little faster in certain applications. But the DARPA folks has launched a program to create technology that can act as a backbone for an airborne network with the sort of same sort of bandwidth as a fiber optic backbone. They want 100 gigs per second, and if successful, the program could mean not just faster data connections on the battlefield, but better broadband for people in remote areas and cheaper expansion of cellular networks. So the effort's called the 100 gigabit per second RF backbone, or 100G in DARPA shorthand. So we'll see how this goes. Apparently, they've spent some money on this and basically having some research being done. So that's what we need, more bits in the air. Hey, if you haven't downloaded this, you've got to get the YouTube Capture app. This thing's really cool. This is an onslaught by Google here recently. Google's released this new app for iOS users, and it's called YouTube Capture. And on the iOS screen, it's just called Capture. The free app allows you to either record movies from within the app or import them from your device camera roll. From there, you can perform basic edits of your clips and then upload them to YouTube, Google+, Facebook, or Twitter. So this is a little bit of a kick in the, basically kicking Apple in the pants, saying, hey, we're going to get some tools out there too. So this is pretty cool. Link will be up in the show notes on that. Hey, the Internet Archive, I know some folks use it. They're trying to raise enough funds to buy 3 petabytes of storage in 17 days. So don't know how much money they have to raise, but here's the deal. An anonymous donor has agreed to match all the nations 3-to-1 through the end of the year. So if you're going to make a donation to Internet Archive, this is the time to do it. If your air dollar will equal 3, or actually add up totally to 4 after the donor matches. So I have a link up in the show notes on that. Well, there's a new thing going on now in the patent space. One of the top executives of a U.S.-based anti-piracy outfit called Digital Rights Corp has submitted a patent application that promises to turn piracy into profit. The patent describes a system where internet users caught downloading will receive a notice from their internet provider along with a request to pay a small fee to the affected copyright holder. Pirates refuse to pay risk the ultimate punishment of being disconnected from the internet. So they're basically have got a system that basically asks infringers that they've caught for a $10 to $20 payment per infringement to basically satisfy the copyright holder. But anyway, they've submitted to patent office this whole system, this whole design. So I'm sure that will probably be hacked. And that system will be ripped off by everyone else, but they're trying to get a patent for their pay up or disconnect scheme. Pretty sad. Hey, the Electronic Frontier Foundation from a Freedom of Information Act has posted several thousand pages of new drone license records and a new map that tracks the location of drone flights across the United States. So if you're interested in this type of material, I'll have a link up in the show notes to the EFF article. And it shows what's going on with drones in the air above the United States. That North Korean satellite that was supposedly launched and working, say it's likely dead and out of control. It's a report from the New York Times, but this satellite launched, they say, is likely dead in space. The satellite headed orbit successfully, and the Korean said it carried a camera to observe the Earth. But Harvard astronomer Jonathan McDowell tells the Times that it's now tumbling and they haven't picked up any transmissions off. I wonder how they do that, how they focus in on a single satellite. All right, fellas, you're probably going to Christmas parties, right? Well, it's not too late to order the flask tie. This is a tie that you can fill it with whatever beverage that you feel that you need to be able to have access to. I don't know how a beverage poured into a plastic container would be, but basically you can wear this tie and it's got a little pull out deal where you can actually drink from this. So it's got a mouthpiece that self seals after each drink. So you don't have to worry about any drips or stains on your shirt or your tie. And the flask tie is priced at $24.95. So might be a way to sneak a cocktail into a board meeting or have it available when you go out and party. You don't have to go up to the bar. Oh, funny. Hey, another article over on O Gizmo. This is a pretty cool one. Ultimate stress test. An iRobot's hand was smashed with a baseball bat. And basically emerged unscathed. They've got a video that goes along with it. And this is pretty cool. I don't know what type of material they made here, but he's whacking this baseball that's being held by these this iRobot hand. And he hits it like full force and multiple times. And the sensors don't break. So I'll have the link up in the show notes for you to review that. Very, very cool. Sly Fox in the chat room says, Skynet, we need a Terminator. That is possibly the greatest thing. Oh, he's the question is, will it blend? Are you talking about the tie being the greatest thing ever? Yeah, you know, it is kind of cool. You know, how many people have actually seen people drinking out of a flask? I think I have a flask on my bar, but I don't think I've ever put anything in it. Do people actually drink out of those little flasks? They put it, you know, they put some whiskey or something in there. I guess some people might. I just guess I've never been around any. Here in Hawaii, you know, we're all wearing like island wear. You know, we don't have a place to hide a flask. So anyway, very cool. Another article over on O Gizmo. Hey, you got a dog that just like eats like crazy. He eats to the point where he's actually almost puking when he's eating. This is smart. If you got a dog that needs to slow down a little bit, you got to get this. It's called the Tuft of Grass Pet Feeder. And what it does is it's got little ridges and basically you pour the dog food on this and the dog actually has to kind of move his head around in between cracks and these little crevices in this feeder to actually get access to the dog food. And this thing is pretty cool. If you watch the video that they put up, you see the dog actually using his paw to pull food out. And it's $36. But if your dog is just one of those dogs that just, I mean, goes crazy after their food, and this is really a smart thing to get your dog to slow down. And I think many of you are going to be like, oh, got to have this. Now, my dog today, he eats for about 2 minutes. He comes in the house and looks around like he's lost. And he's 15 years old. I think he forgets that he's eating. And he looks at me like wagging his tail and like, I need to go out and eat again, Dad. And I like take him to the door. I'm, come on, come on. And take him out. And he, oh, he's, oh, there's food there again. He'll eat for a couple more minutes and come back in. So I got the opposite problem. I've got a senile dog that I have to keep reminding that there's food in the bowl. But anyway, the Tuft of Grass pet feeder is basically keeps your dog from going totally nuts when they're eating. How's that tech related? It's not, but it's just cool. Now, and I just been finding cool stuff like this. And ladies, I got a cat hoodie for you too. So if you're a cat fan, they're selling a cat hoodie. It's got little ears on it and everything. $50. It's made of cotton polyester mix. It's part of an actual jacket. So I can see some teenagers liking this. So link is up in the show notes. Definitely check it out. I always like Ogizmo. They always got some cool stuff. All right, switching gears back to the tech side. This is more of a consumer type thing. Have you ever purchased something online and it's a recurring subscription and you have a hard time canceling the account? Well, the folks at Lifehacker have given you the ability to cancel. It shows you how to step-by-step to go through canceling services like Amazon Prime and some other things. So I'll have that link up in the show notes for you to check out. Anyway, very, very cool. A couple articles up on Geek News Central right now. NASA goes Johnson style. And I have to admit, you know, Gangnam style. My kids sing that song in Korean here, and I don't dare play this on the show, but this parody was really good. They really did a good job on this parody. So 2 minutes and 45 cents, it's Johnson style instead of Gangnam style. So I have a link up in the show notes. You'll want to watch it. It's on Geek News Central right now. This one got a huge number of tweets on the website. 70 people tweeted it 72 times. So I'm not the only one that liked it. And my daughter did. And Andrew, one of our writers, basically shared how it's basically identity theft made easy. And there's a lot of stupid people out there. But apparently, this young lady got her very first credit card. And she put her first credit card picture on Facebook. It says, my first credit card buzzing and ain't the word, my friends. And she basically put her credit card number, expiration date, her name on there. The only thing was missing off this Visa card was she should have flipped it over and gave us the three-letter code. But Miss Alex Mathiswan, it's going to be a calling from her Visa company, said that your card has been compromised and has a significant number of charges on it. You know, put a picture of her credit card on the internet. Like, capital I, idiot. Unbelievable. Yeah, I guess you better check her new statement for some unexpected purchases. Even I told my daughter, I come in here, I said, do you see anything wrong with that picture? She goes, is that girl stupid or what? So she was able to, you know, instantly realize what the girl did. It was not so bright. Did you guys know that the Russia Soyuz spacecraft is 46 years old? Well, you know, we're getting ready to do mission number 34, the ISS. Expedition 34 is getting ready to launch. But the Russian Soyuz spacecraft is 46 years old. Now, they've improved technology over time, and it's still not flying the same gear that did 46 years ago. But it just goes to show you that, you know, you can continually upgrade something and not have to reinvent the wheel all the time. You don't see the Russians going back and building something new, every 20 years. They've been flying this for 46 years, and it's getting people to space. So, anyway, the Soyuz spacecraft, 46 years and counting, all right? And we've got to launch the International Space Station on here in a few days. What day does it go? They launch 12:12 UTC, 7:12 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on Wednesday, beginning a two-day journey to the station, and this is a 34 crew coming on. Yeah, basically the Expedition 34-35 crew. So good luck on the launch, guys. Article over on The Verge. Amazon is preparing to take on Google head-to-head with a new... basically, they're coming up with their own advertising thing. Basically, Amazon has built its own automated real-time bidding platform. I want to share with you guys. Let's see if I can find it. What I had found during the 24-hour podcast when we had four reboots of the TriCaster, and tonight the TriCaster has been on about 3.5-4 hours. We haven't had an issue. We're going to let it run all night and see what happens. But we couldn't figure out what was going on and why the TriCaster was rebooting. It was just like someone hit the reset button. And I had remembered seeing a post in the, what was it? It was over on the New Tech site talking about, specifically talking about a sine wave, basically pure sine wave. And so my UPS that I have on there right now is a APC, pretty expensive, $180, $190 UPS. And what I found when I did some research and what I settled on was a product that was from CyberPower. And let's see if I can actually bring up the site. I should have had this pre-planned out. So let me actually erase that. And here we go. Is that going to take? Yeah, it's going to take me to CyberPower Systems. So what I had read was that depending on your UPS, if you're dealing with a piece of computer gear that has active power factoring, and basically a PFC power supply, you can get in trouble real quick if you don't have an UPS that is basically has this pure sine wave or true sine wave into it. Or basically, it's not integrated with it. If it doesn't say that the UPS is capable of pure sine wave output, you could end up having, when there's a little glitch in the power and the UPS takes over, it could cause these some of these power supplies in these computers to have a little bit of a quick glitch and they reboot or cause a reboot. So what I ordered was it's expensive as heck. I think I spent $500. But how I want to tie this back to the Amazon article was, what I did when I was looking for this, I went online, I found the model. I'm okay, let me see if I can find one cheaper. And ultimately here, I found the Google AdSense ad and to Amazon. So I clicked in and basically found it cheaper, found it via Prime, ordered it and had it shipped. But with this Amazon preparing to take on Google head-to-head with, as an AdSense competitor, I could see sites running the Amazon code. If I was doing this research looking for this, they would know and they would send me back to the Amazon website. And again, I bought it on Amazon. It was about $100 cheaper than I could find it anywhere else. It was Prime, by a Prime retailer. I paid no shipping for it, and it'll be here on Wednesday. I think I paid $487 for the UPS. And I think retail on it at the store was like almost $600 on the company's website. So I think Amazon's onto something big here if they're going to be doing their own deal. Because after all, I'm doing multiple searches, I'm reading lots of articles, and ultimately I end up on Amazon's website through search. And if I'd have seen the Amazon link there right prominently to begin with, I would have clicked right in. So anyway, very, very cool. Again, I love Amazon Prime. And long story short here, if they come up with their own ad program, it could be very, very big and very, very profitable for them. And I'll probably run some of their stuff on my website just to, help generate traffic over there for people making purchases. Hey, a Hollywood hacker has been sentenced to 10 years in prison. A federal judge sentenced a hacker to 10 years in prison today, as after he broke into personal online accounts of Scarlett Johansson, Christina Aguilar, and other women posting revealing photos and other material on the internet. So the case included a revelation that nude photos taken by Jonathan of herself and meant for her then husband, Ryan Reynolds, were leaked online. And basically, he threw the book at him. And the prosecutor was seeking a 6-year imprisonment, but the judge was so upset with this guy, he gave him 10 years. So he's going to spend some time in the slammer. And I bet that'll make people think twice before they share stuff about, post stuff online about people. There's another Iranian computer malware out there. This malicious data wiper is set to kick off on January 13th. So it's being found on a lot of computers in Iran. So once again, Iranian computers are being targeted by another piece of malware. It's called Batch Wiper. And this follows the discovery of another one called Flame. So lots of regional targeting going on here for malware recently, which we probably shouldn't be too surprised about. Microsoft has been left surprised by Google's Exchange Active Sync announcement. Google announced last week that it had plans to drop Exchange Active Sync support for new devices on personal Gmail accounts from January 30th. While Microsoft has remained quiet on the issue affecting Windows 8, Windows RT, and Windows Phone Gmail setups, the software makers now responded to Google's announcement in a blog post and basically say that the company was very surprised by Google's announcement, indicating that Microsoft does not have immediate steps in place to address potential access problems in the Windows 8 style mail client and Windows Phone. So Windows Phone users, you may be having an issue here if you're using Exchange Active Sync. They're going to remove that capability for you to access your mail that way. This evening, I was talking with my daughter at dinner about Instagram's new terms of service, and I actually printed out the talking points. Instagram has issued new terms of service. They're effective on January 16th. Number one, Instagram can share information about its users with Facebook, its parent company, as well as outside affiliates and advertisers. Number two, you could star in an advertisement without your knowledge as part of the new terms of service. Underage users are not exempt. So although Instagram says people must be at least 13 years old to sign up for the service, the new terms note that if a teenager signs up, they are agreeing that a parent or guardian is aware of that their image, username, and photos can be used in ads. Ads may not be labeled as ads. That's kind of an interesting thing. So that's not good. And I don't know how they're going to get away with that with an FCC standpoint. And if you want to opt out, tough, delete your account. So Instagram's making some huge changes to the terms of service. Now, so many companies are building their business on the backs of others. Dish FM is using Foursquare and Yelp and Instagram data for a smarter way to find the perfect meal. So why would a company that's going to have a great domain line, the domain name like dish.fm, why are they going to pull metadata in from those other services to help populate their apps when they know that data could be shut down at any time? You know, it may be a great app, but it really, to me, doesn't make a lot of sense why companies are doing this. I guess they're just leveraging what's already available out there. But if I was a Yelp user or Yelp CEO or Instagram, I might pull the plug on these guys because it would be impacting my app's ability to drive people to restaurants and so forth. So kind of an interesting move by Dish.fm. Hey, Amazon did make some, Google made some announcements about on their research blog at googleresearch.blogspot.com talking about millions of core hours awarded to science. In 2011, Google University Relations launched a new academic research award program called Google Exacycle for visiting faculty, offering up to 1 billion core hours of qualifying proposals. And so they introduced some Exacycle award recipients and their work. And I'm not going to go into the full details of this. You guys can read this yourself. But here was some of the awards given and what they're going to be studying. simulating a dynamic universe with large synoptic sky survey. 2, designing and defeating antibiotic drug resistance. 3, sampling the conformational space of G protein coupled receptors. 4, modeling transport through nuclear pore complex. 5, large scale screening for new drug leads that modulate the activity of disease relevant proteins. That's just crazy. These are some heavy topics requiring millions of processor hours to go through simulations, and Google's awarded those core hours to science. So very cool on Google's part. Facebook is also muscling in on Yelp and Foursquare with new Nearby upgrade. So basically, Facebook has made a nearby link in their app. And so basically, it's going to pit Facebook against Yelp, Foursquare, and Google. And the new Nearby tab in Facebook apps for iOS and Android, which only used to display friends' check-ins, now offer a lot more data on local places, including ratings, recommendations, and business information. So a lot of cross-play here going on in the space. I don't understand the context in the chat room, Sly Fox. How gray? What's the reference to how gray? Gizmodo's got an article saying the word weblog. I can't talk tonight. The word weblog was born 15 years ago today. So that shows you we've been at this for a while. The Wright brothers first took to skies today, 100 years ago today. Today marks the anniversary of Orville and Wilbur Wright's first successful flight near Kitty Hawk, North Carolina. And they soared for 120 feet and stayed in the air for 12 seconds. So very cool stuff. That changed the world. If you're in Japan, SoftBank will offer satellite phones for use during natural disasters. So it's going to start selling satellite phones that can be used during tsunamis, earthquakes, or other events during which traditional mobile phone services may be unavailable. The carrier has partnered with Dubai-based Thuraya, a satellite phone and service provider, to sell satellite-based phones to its home market. So this is a pretty big deal. So Thuraya, well-known name in basically worldwide phones. Pretty good article over on Wired talking about how much rain does the Mississippi River need. Of course, many of you know that the Mississippi River is at record low levels because of the drought that happened this summer and hasn't fully recovered yet. They're talking about the amount of water that needs to happen across the region to get the levels back up. So this is a pretty complex, it's a good math project. If you've got a teenager in algebra at this point, this is not a complicated formula for them to do. And basically to figure out how much rain needs to happen to raise the river, the Mississippi River, the mighty Mississippi River. The folks at NASA have been experimenting with their Frankenstein FA-18 that they've had. And research test pilots have completed a series of test flights. And they've been able to, through the computers in the aircraft, controlling pitch settings and different aspects of the pitch and everything else, they've been able to see a 3-5% increase in fuel efficiency. That's huge, just by trimming the aircraft to reduce drag. So I have the link up in the show notes for that. Those of you that are in the aviation space will love this article. Last article up from the MPAA. Millions of DMC takedowns prove that Google needs to stop piracy. See how all these companies want to just continue to blame someone else? I think that Aussie ISP article we started with had it right in their comments. So anyway, I'll leave that one for you guys to read. It's got the same old same propaganda in it. No need to go into it. Do have a few comments tonight. Got an email here from MS Small Bills. He was the one that linked me to the space station to get new Insomni fighting light bulbs. I'll have that link up. Of course, Tim linked me to the anonymous going after the Westboro Baptist Church. Got an email here from Danelle, and this is what she says about touchscreen computing. She says, "Hi, Todd. For the past year, I've owned a dual touchscreen tablet / laptop where random screen taps are generated on an intermittent basis. Once they start, they tend to keep going. Sometimes they stop on their own. If I put my computer to sleep for a while, they stop. I'm still not sure what the root cause of all this is. I enjoy the touchscreens when they work properly. However, this is an issue that continues to distract me and take up my time. From searches I've done on the web, I get the impression that this has happened with other touchscreen devices. Do you have any thoughts or information on this? I keep wondering if this is a problem of the past that has been eliminated with new product designs, or if this is a problem that continues to occur on touchscreen computing devices. At the moment, as much as I love the touch option, I am reluctant to buy any touchscreen device. The following YouTube link illustrates the ghost taps. I'm afraid someday these taps will submit a product or stock order without my knowledge. Thanks, Danielle." We'll see if the Ohana has any feedback on that. And we'll get you an answer, see if anyone else is doing this. That one is actually supposed to go up in the CES stack. We'll put it over there. And, wow, how come I drag that one over here? Got another article from Robin. He says, "Hey, Todd, don't know if you saw these or not. I heard the last commander had all the graffiti removed from the white rooms. What a launch." And this is a launch photography of Endeavor's flight deck. And Mika sent me a link to New York Governor Patterson speaking at Kindle for All, Kindle ebook issue that they were having with accessibility. Thanks, Mika, for that as well. Well, that is all I've got tonight, folks, here for the show. I appreciate all of you sending in your emails and your comments. Thank you for your participation in a 24-hour podcast. I'm still kind of recovering from it. Today was kind of rough. I didn't do too bad on Sunday, but things were pretty weird for me today. Last thing, Sly Fox, "Hey, I should comment more clear since I'm way behind the stream delay. Sorry, Todd." Still not sure what he referred to when it said all gray. But yeah, that's what happens when you're on the stream. It runs 30 seconds to a minute behind. So it's I have to watch things that in not in real time. And I don't always look over at the screen and catch it in time. So anyway, thanks for being here. We'll be back with you Thursday. And definitely, hey, check out my GoDaddy stuff. You know, think about a Christmas present of a domain name or a hosting account. I definitely appreciate it if you use my GoDaddy promo codes. Link is on the website. Also, if you missed the beginning of the show and forwarded all the way through to the end, the Insider special program I'm going to record on Christmas Eve, I think it's going to be pretty special. So I hope that you'll become an insider if you're not one already. Those of you that are insiders, don't worry. You're going to get the link and access to that file. It's going to not be distributed to anyone else. It's going to go out via private mailing. And this is something that my mom and I talked about doing, and I think you guys will enjoy it. But consider becoming an insider, geeknewscentral.com/insider. All right, that wraps me up here. Again, I will start posting the 24-hour podcast episodes probably a couple at a time, maybe a couple a night here in a couple of days. Thanks for being here. Thanks for being part of the family. Thanks for following the show. geeknews@gmail.com. Twitter account is @geeknews. Hotline is 619-342-7365. We'll see you next time. Take care and aloha.